what's happening in Washington and how it affects you. Melissa in the Morning welcomes Congressman Jim Himes to WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
So I just sent another message out to Congressman Himes. I just talked to him yesterday, and he had confirmed that he was going to come on today. So I'll give him another minute to call in. A couple big stories all having to do with the military this week. Overnight, the House voted 221 to 213 to overturn a Pentagon policy guaranteeing abortion access to service members regardless of where they are stationed. And Republicans really propelled that to pass over near unanimous Democratic opposition. This House vote comes literally just days after the commandant of the U.S. Marine Corps, General David Berger, stepped down, leaving the military branch without a confirmed leader for the first time in more than 150 years. So I wanted to kind of talk about the military drama that is unfolding in Washington, D.C., and sort of the ripple effect it will have on us. So joining us now is Congressman Jim Himes with the latest. Good morning, Congressman. How are you?
Good morning, Melissa. I'm doing fine. Thank you.
So let's talk about, first of all, the most recent news, which was that House vote overnight, 221 to 213, the overturn of a Pentagon policy guaranteeing abortion access to service members, regardless of where they are stationed. So this restricts abortion rights for military personnel. I would imagine you are against that.
Yeah. I and the vast majority of the American people are against that. And, you know, I'll put it into context for you because it's been a very disappointing couple of days. In fact, I was voting until about 11:45 last night. You know, the Defense Authorization Bill, what's known as the NDAA, has always been a bipartisan bill. And the theory was, you know, authorizing and funding our military is so critical to our national security that whatever party's in charge is going to not fill the bill with, you know, more ideological kind of culture war issues. You know, the Democrats, when they control the House, aren't going to put in lots of, you know, climate change stuff, et cetera, et cetera. That tradition has been cast aside this year. And so I think I voted on 50 amendments or something in the last 2 days, all of which were about anti-abortion, which were about, you know, eliminating the military's diversity program, which we could talk about. You know, we're having a huge recruiting problem in the military. We can't fill those slots. And, you know, we rely on the ability to appeal to groups that have traditionally, you know, maybe had a rougher time in the military, women, African Americans, et cetera. So just amendment after amendment. And one of them, as you point out, would reverse the military's policy of saying, hey, if you're a woman and you want to get an abortion and you're in a state that prohibits that, we'll pay for you to drive to a state where you can get an abortion. And, you know, people have different views of abortion. I get that. The vast majority of Americans do support a woman's right to get an abortion to a point. And so, you know, there's two things that upset me about this. Number one, the effort that is being made to, you know, that will ultimately result in recruiting problems for our military. And number two, the fact that for the first time in decades, the National Defense Authorization Act has been turned into a vehicle for the achievement of these kind of culture war objectives of the Republican majority.
I got to say something, Congressman Himes, and I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of backlash for this, but I, as a woman, do not understand why politics ever got involved with abortion rights. I don't really understand that. I do understand, like, you know, the need for term limits. I do understand, like, too much is too much or too little is too little. Like, I guess. But to the point that we're now saying to military personnel, you can sign a piece of paper, you could put your lives on the line, you could do everything that we need you to do as a country to defend us. But if you want to protect your body or you want to do something that is right for you, we're going to block you from doing that. That to me just sounds obscene. Like, that doesn't really equate for me. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, well, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more there. You know, as a father of two daughters and a brother to two sisters and husband to a wife, I'm pretty attuned to exactly that point of view, which is a very reasonable female point of view. You know, look, I've been pro-choice my entire political career, pretty much my whole life. And I totally respect those people who have concerns with abortion, who believe that it's not right. And that category includes lots of people who have religious objections. that's fine. I respect that. And I can't tell you that you're wrong. What I can tell you is that you don't have the right to impose your views on women who are making an enormously challenging, values-based, intimate relationship. And what makes it even worse, Melissa, I have to sit in the chamber and, let's face it, the majority party, the Republican Party in the chamber, a whole lot of middle-aged white guys. And to hear middle-aged white guy after middle-aged white guy after middle-aged white guy stand up and explain, why women shouldn't have the right to make that choice. I mean, at some point you kind of get into the theater of the absurd, even if you acknowledge and respect the point of view that is different than our own.
Well, and even to your point from a religious standpoint, so I'm a devout Christian. I personally would not get an abortion myself. It's not something that I believe in for myself, but I am not going to judge another woman because I don't know what they're going through. I don't know what everybody is going through and what is leading them to this decision. And it's not like it's an easy decision for most women who decide to do that. That is not an easy decision. And it's something that haunts them the rest of their lives, because I know plenty of women who have gotten abortions because they needed to. So with that being said, I agree. I think you can have the opinion of whether you agree with it or you don't. I just think when you're about to put something like this on military personnel, not to mention that we already, you were saying, are struggling to recruit. And why is that? Why are we struggling at this point to recruit military members?
You know, it's a great question. As you might imagine, I'm actually standing here kind of looking in the direction of the Pentagon. I'm still in Washington. I think one big answer is everybody is struggling to recruit out there. You know, talk to any restaurant, talk to any, business out there. They will uniformly tell you, post-COVID, really hard for us to get employees. So I think that's a big part of it. The other big thing, of course, is, we're in a period of time where we're on the backside of two conflicts, Afghanistan and Iraq, neither of which I think in the eyes of the American people look like, stunning victories, much the reverse, in fact. And so, even though, and I deal with the military every day in my job as a congressman, I will tell you that the military is a superb organization. Every branch of the service is just about as competent and capable. Our war fighters are the best on the planet. I do think that there's sort of a sense that, the military gets involved in these conflicts like Iraq and Afghanistan that don't end well, and that makes it hard to attract young people. By the way, I mentioned this earlier, but, our military, African-Americans are overrepresented in our military relative to their percentage in the overall population. And again, amendment after amendment after amendment in the last 2 days to eliminate programs that are designed to make sure that inside the Marine Corps, people are respecting the diversity of the Marine Corps or the Navy or what have you. For obvious reasons, Melissa, that does not help.
Yeah, certainly. And, speaking of the Marine Corps really quick, General David Berger, as I mentioned, stepped down earlier this week. This is the first time in 150 years or more that a military branch does not have a confirmed leader. Where are we with that? And are we closer to finding somebody? And how in the world did we not have somebody in place?
Well, sadly, this relates to the conversation we've been having this morning, and I think, it's in the paper, talk about the politicization of our military and the dangerous politicization. One senator, the senator from Alabama, Tommy Tuberville, former football coach of Auburn University, has decided that he will not allow the Senate confirmation of any senior officers. Senior military officers in all of the branches at some point need to be Senate confirmed. So that's certainly two of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the commandant of the Marines, et cetera. There are now 250 senior military officers who cannot assume their role because Tommy Tuberville will not allow a Senate vote until the military reverses this policy that we were just talking about of funding a woman in the military who wants to move to a state or go to a state where she can actually get an abortion. So think about that. It's not just the commandant of the Marines. It is our entire military, our leadership. The leadership of the military in a very, very dangerous world is being, basically used as a bargaining chip for Tommy Tuberville of Alabama to achieve his views on abortion. By the way, views that the majority of the American people don't share. You and I have gone out of our way this morning to say we respect people on both sides of that debate. But the truth is that, you know, a woman's right to choose to have an abortion to a point, not forever. You know, in the old Roe versus Wade world where you could have an abortion up to the point of viability, that's supported by the vast majority of Americans. And here we don't have our most senior military officers in their jobs because Tommy Tuberville wants to use this as a bargaining chip in the abortion fight. It's just It's really sad.
It's a slippery slope. And I think if we're willing to use the military as a bargaining chip, that's not a good look for America.
That's a bad look for us. Yeah. I always try to get my Republican friends to think about this. If this is the game we're going to play, you know, the next thing you know, there's going to be a Democratic senator who's not going to allow any military leadership to be confirmed because they want their ideological, because they want the Green New Deal or single payer healthcare or whatever's on their list. And I mean, do we really want to go to that world? You know,
I think we're kind of going that way. That's what's really concerning. I mean, I don't know. So at least we have the very latest on what is going on. Maybe by the next time we talk, we'll have leaders in place and this can get squashed or something. I don't know. I think this is very concerning. This story is one at top of mind where I'm like, come on. I think at some point we got to put politics to the side and go, this is our military we're talking about. These are the people who defend our country, for God's sakes. I don't know. That's crazy.
Yep.
So, all right, Congressman Hines, well, thank you so much. Sorry for the late night and for getting up early, but I appreciate you being on the show today. Thank you.
Thank you, Melissa. Take care.
All right. It has been a very active week for Hartford Healthcare, and it's a huge golf tournament that's been going on, the LPGA Epson Tour Hartford Healthcare Women's Championship at Great River Golf Club in Milford's been underway. And joining us right now is Dr. John Irving, who is an orthopedic surgeon. He's with Hartford Healthcare. And we're going to talk a little bit about some common injuries that golfers will get, and that includes hip replacement. So, Dr. Irving, welcome. So glad you're with us. How are you?
Thank you, Melissa. Good morning. Thank you for having me, and good morning to all your listeners.
Yeah, I mean, it's an exciting week, obviously, for Hartford Healthcare, and I thought this was a great opportunity. You know, when you think of golf, unless you are an avid golfer, people don't realize that it's pretty common to still have some maybe back or hip or joint injuries in this sport, and so let's talk a little bit about hip replacements, for example. How common is it for golfers to need a hip replacement?
Well, it kind of reflects the general population. And, of course, golf is not a contact sport, if you will, but yet the stresses and strain of the golf swing, which are really an abnormal motion for the body, do put a significant stress on the hip. Particularly if you're a right-handed golfer, it would be the left hip. And if you're a left-handed golfer, on the opposite right hip, because you have to turn into that hip. Specifically, when you have arthritis, you lose motion of the hip. And one of the first things you lose, Melissa, is the ability to rotate with arthritis. From loss of the cartilage, arthritis is losing the tread on the tire. Some overgrowth of bone called bone spurs develop. And these all limit that ability to turn. The consequence of that is, of course, you have to make some compensation in your swing. Some golfers compensate by turning, again, for a right-handed golfer, the left foot out to the front more, but then the back starts taking the secondary strain because you want to get that body twist through to square your club to the ball. And even the rear leg, again, in the case of a right-handed golfer, the right leg. So, you know, as more and more people play golf and the population gets older, more and more people are experiencing hip arthritis.
So I'm curious, with a hip replacement, Dr. Irving, does that relieve the pain that you can also have in your lower back?
Absolutely. And because with an increasing stiffness of the hip, even in day-to-day walking, Melissa, you end up compensating by, it's kind of curious, locomoting the bad leg through the back and the opposite hip. And you can see people in the office actually with, you know, a real rotation of their hips. So the back can take a big hit, and once you relieve achieve that with a total hip replacement, there again is a readjustment and a typical improvement in patients' low back pain after a hip replacement.
So Dr. John Irving is here, an orthopedic surgeon, and he actually specializes in joint replacement surgery and is the co-medical director of the Connecticut Orthopedic Institute at St. Vincent's Medical Center. What is a hip replacement? What does that entail? What does that mean?
Certainly. Well, again, the hip joint is a ball and a socket, and when you have arthritis, it's basically losing the tread on a tire. So what we do is through especially the modern techniques, whether it's the more popular anterior approach, but even very sophisticated posterior approach, we've learned to minimize the tissue damage. And then with the significant advanced techniques, people get a new ball and socket. Melissa, people ask me all the time what the biggest advancements have been in hip replacement in the last 10 years, and they've been basically threefold. One is the quality of the implants, and even though it's metal and plastic, the plastic has become so sophisticated that we're looking at 20 to 30 years and possibly even beyond for people to have an active lifestyle before even to having to change the spare tire, if you will, and that's just changing the plastic. So it's very durable. People can be very active. I've had both my hips replaced, and I hike, I bike, I ski, scuba dive, golf. It really returns you to a fairly normal lifestyle. The other two factors, of course, are, as I mentioned, the less invasive techniques. And thirdly is in association with our anesthesia colleagues to minimize the discomfort after surgery. And again, it's become one of the more popular and certainly the most successful reconstructive operations we do in orthopedic surgery, to the fact that last year in the United States there were plus or minus 600,000 hip replacements, and that number is just going to keep increasing as our population gets older and more active. And of course, one of the things people want to pursue are activities such as golf. And you know, this is such a terrific event, and Hartford HealthCare and Connecticut Orthopedic Institute is so proud to sponsor these young, very talented female athletes who, you know, as you know, are the best of perhaps the collegiate world. And they're working really hard to refine their game and get used to the rigors of the pro circuit. And these are, you know, tomorrow's stars. And everybody has the opportunity to come out to Great River and to see this event. This is the first, and we hope, of annual event with the LPGA to launch these careers. And I can't remember exactly how many at the end of the season get their, if you will, their card to move up to the parent tour in at the end of the season. So
yeah, it's very
again,
exciting.
You know, we're Hartford HealthCare and COI, Connecticut Orthopedic Institute, very proud to sponsor this, and it's relevant to, of course, orthopedics, considering the spectrum of injuries that golfers can get playing the game.
We have Dr. John Irving here, an orthopedic surgeon for Hartford HealthCare, and we're talking about hip replacement, especially for golfers. So I was curious, Dr. Irving, because I was actually just talking to somebody the other day about knee replacement surgery. It seems like in today's world, you literally get your knee replaced and you walk that same day. It's like, all right, great, go, get up and go. Is it the same for hip replacement? Like, what is the recovery process for getting a hip replaced?
Absolutely. And, you know, we hope that there's a giant umbrella or rainbow over the golf course today here in the previous weather forecast. But yes, we offer absolute same day surgery if the patient qualifies. And one of the big things about same day surgery, whether it's hip or knee, is patient preparation ahead of time. And we here at Connecticut Orthopedic Institute offer a very extensive education process before the patient even goes into it, so they know as much as they can, and those that do, do the best and can be prepared to go home the same day. But as soon as the anesthesia wears off, we have patients even walking from their stretcher from the recovery room into their room to start their postoperative recovery. So it's extraordinarily fast recovery.
That's crazy to me. I still don't understand how that's like possible. Like, how do you have an incision? You put a metal slash plastic ball and socket in there and you're walking that afternoon. Like, that just seems bizarre to me. That's crazy.
Right. Well, you know, in all fairness, you're not ready to do the cha-cha or go up golfing immediately.
Fair.
But you are able to.
Like, do you have a cane or something? Like, do you have
me?
Assistance? Do you have, like, assistance while you're walking? Do you have a cane or something?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
And certainly in the immediate post-op period, you have physical therapists who are right by your side.
Okay.
But you're using a walker or a cane. And, again, there's a very rapid transition from using an assist to walking without it. And everybody's a little bit variable, but generally you can shake a cane or a walker anywhere from 3 to 5 days to, you know, 10 to 15 days, again, depending on your age, your physical fitness, other joints that are involved. But nonetheless, it's an extraordinary recovery over what was done 10, 15, even 20 years ago, where
Agreed.
Patients were in the hospital 7 to 10 days.
Yeah.
So we're up and at them, and at our facility here at St. Vincent's, patients are in and out of a bed, on and off a toilet, up and down stairs, and we even have a car up on the floor so they can practice the appropriate way to get in and out of the car and get themselves set up for success to go home that very day or certainly the next morning and get around and function very highly.
That's great. I love that. Now, while it does sound like we have all the kinks, you know, taken care of and that we can obviously trust the hands of people like you, Dr. Irving, if someone wants to, you know, avoid needing to get their hip replaced, are there things that you can do to prevent needing a hip replacement and better protecting our hips?
Well, unfortunately, most of osteoarthritis is sort of genetically determined, and there's going to be a pathway to the hip wearing out as we grow older and more active. But yes, of course, there can, especially in the golfer in particular. When you're walking up and down the golf course, a deteriorating hip can cause you great difficulty bending over, putting the ball on the tee, getting the ball out of the cup. And there are devices that can assist and minimize the need to squat and reach over and bend. And, you know, as I said earlier, there are some modifications in the swing that will help avoid, you know, strain on the hip. Certainly the judicious use of medications like Advil, Aleve, or Tylenol are in order. Physical therapy can help improve the range of motion over a period of time. And as people progress with the problem, we even have options such as a cortisone injection, which is perhaps more common in the shoulder and knee, but certainly available for the hip. And it certainly buys people a significant amount of pain-free and active time before they have to consider having their hip replaced.
And again, Dr. Irving, I want to thank you for giving us all this information. If people want more information on this, you can always go to ctorthoinstitute.org. Again, ctorthoinstitute.org. And Dr. John Irving, thank you for what you do as an orthopedic surgeon. And we will talk again, I'm sure, very soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Melissa, and we hope to see everybody out on at Great River Golf Course, and it'll be a spectacular 3-day event, and as I said, you're seeing tomorrow's stars today up close and personal. So we wish them all the best.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, so they had the pro-am that went on the last couple of days, but today kicks off the 3-day event, LPGA Epson Tour, Hartford Healthcare Women's Championship at Great River Golf Club in Milford, going on right now through the weekend. Thank you again, Dr. Irving. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, Melissa. Have a great day.
Absolutely. You too. And Dr. Irving again with Hartford Healthcare here on WICC. It's the weekend and we are so excited to kick some exciting things off this weekend in particular here in Connecticut. Joining us now is Anthony. Anthony, the Chief Marketing Officer at the Department of Economic and Community Development. He also oversees the Office of Tourism. Anthony, welcome back. How are you?
No, I'm doing great, Melissa. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm very excited to have you here, and I hope you and your family got to enjoy your break, because we have a very exciting weekend coming up in Connecticut. It seems like a lot of great festivals going on.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's funny. I feel like I say this every week that there's something special going on. But, you know, at this weekend, it's a really diverse offering. And I think it's just perfectly representative of, you know, what we the diversity of options, what people can do over the course of a weekend.
I totally agree with you. So let's start off with the Greater Hartford Festival of Jazz happening all weekend long at the Bushnell Park. What's going on?
Yeah, so this is huge. Typically about 100,000 people show up. It's right on in Bushnell Park, just north of the state capitol building. And you have 70 local vendors, whether it's craftspeople, artists, food trucks, and more. But the big thing that everybody comes for is free jazz. It's the largest free jazz festival in all of New England. It's been going on for 30 years.
That's incredible. Okay, so I've obviously heard of, again, this is why we have this segment. I cannot thank you enough, Anthony, that you come on each and every week, you know, to talk about what's going on, because I had heard rumblings about the Jazz Fest. First of all, I didn't know it was around for 30 years. That's incredible. But the largest in New England, that's amazing. Where are these artists coming from?
All over. So, I mean, the lineup is really long. Award winners, and they're coming here because they know that this is where you have, again, 100,000+ people coming to see them. And these are, you know, anywhere from jazz aficionados to people who just want to be part of something bigger and something fun.
That's so fun. Now, I do have to ask this, Anthony, and I'm not saying that this is in your job requirement, so it's okay if you're like, I have no idea. But I do know in particular that this week we've been really watching the Connecticut River up in the Hartford area. I do know that we are expecting some thunderstorm activity, rain, things like that. Are there any alternative plans for people, like where they can go, or is this all going to be outdoors, rain or shine?
Yeah, so this is going to be all outdoors, rain or shine. Obviously, they're going to do what's right and what's safe for folks. So if you're getting intense thunderstorms, it's just not safe for folks to be out during something like that. So, of course, they will delay, but they will be back once everything passes over.
And as far as we know, there's no flooding concerns in that area of Hartford where they're having this.
No, not in the Bushnell. You know, there are good, probably mile away or so from the river.
Okay.
So my office actually overlooks the river. It has been swollen all week. So it's, you know, I get a firsthand view of that. And it's, you know, it's been really interesting to see.
Yikes. Yeah, we've been tracking it as well. But okay, so basically have the umbrellas ready and certainly have that backup plan. But this is, again, it has been going on for 30 years now and is the largest jazz festival in New England, which there's something to be said about that because music is a big deal in New England. I know there's a lot of festivals in Cape Cod, in Boston, in Vermont, in New Hampshire, and in Maine. And so I think this is a big deal, the fact that people will all flock to Connecticut for the largest jazz festival this upcoming weekend. So that's happening in downtown Hartford, a little bit closer to where our neck of the woods, right down here in the Fairfield and New Haven County area, the Connecticut Pizza and Brew Fest. Now, this to me is shocking, Anthony, I have to say, because my own company, Connoisseur Media, they're the ones hosting it, which is very cool to say. But, you know, I've asked all our organizers, I'm like, wait, what gives? How are you guys the first ones to come up with it? Not that I'm not trying to put my company down by any means, but I'm like, wait. Come on, Connecticut. What do you mean we've never had to this extreme a pizza and brew fest? Like, that just seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah, this is right in our wheelhouse. I mean, these are two things that we make very well. I'd argue, like, among the best in the country. So
yes.
This is an obvious layup, and I'm glad we're finally taking advantage of it.
I totally agree. I was saying to one of the lead organizers, Kevin Begley, who runs our sister station in the afternoons, starting at 9.9, I said to him, I was like, I'm not calling you dumb, Kevin. I think you're brilliant. My question here is, like, how in the world you have people coming over from California just to eat our pizza? Like, people come across the country specifically to have New Haven style pizza or to have Colony pizza, you know, whatever. And we're expanding our pizza. Like, Pepe's is now going all over the place. So I just think this is extraordinary to me that it's 2023 and we're finally having a pizza, not to mention Brew Fest. We've got a lot of local great breweries as well.
Yeah, so I think it's, I believe it's over 10 breweries. Actually, one of my favorites, and this is something, it's weird that I'm admitting this, but hey, 2023, like you said, Athletic Brewing Company.
They love
non-alcoholic beer. It's
yes.
Incredible. It's so good. So they'll be there. You have some of the other big names that everybody knows and loves, Down East, making craft cider, and a few other folks making, you know, various vodka drinks in the can. But it's a really, really interesting, great festival. Again, this is our core, pizza, beer. And you know what? I think with pizza in particular, I think we've reached this critical mass moment where it's like Connecticut is getting national attention for its pizza. So why not bring together some of the best in the state for an event like this?
I agree with you. And here's something to add to next year, because I know this is going to be wildly successful. I'm thinking, because we've also had some of our ice cream parlors highlighted on a national scale as well, we should also add ice cream to this fest, because we have a lot of local great ice cream spots as well. Just throwing in my two cents.
Well, they actually already have five dessert trucks there, one of which it has soft serve. But you know what? Yeah, let's get some of the best ice creams. And actually, on that very note, not that anybody in the state of Connecticut needs an excuse to eat ice cream, but you get a hall pass on Sunday because it's National Ice Cream Day.
Okay, so see, I knew I was onto something. See, Anthony, I'm telling you, you just call me if you want an excellent, beyond amazing festival to become even better than that. You just call me, because I knew I was onto something with adding ice cream to this. We have to.
100%. All right. So here's the real question.
Okay.
What's your favorite ice cream in Connecticut?
So my favorite ice cream spot or my favorite kind of ice cream?
How about both?
Okay.
Why not both?
Spot would probably. I would be lying if I didn't say I'm a frequent Scoopy Doo's girl in Milford. However, I mean, I've gone to many, many different creameries. There's so many good ones, but I would say the one I go to most often, just because I live in Milford, would be Scoopy Doo's. Walnut Beach Creamery is great. I would probably say Scoopy Doo's. Why? What about you?
Okay. So I'm up in the Avon area, and so I take my kids quite often to Jay Foster's. But you know, there's
delish.
So many in you know the greater Hartford areas. Arethusa, which you can either get out in Litchfield or even in West Hartford. There's Capital Ice Cream right on Capital Avenue. So you know, every so often I'll take my lunch break and I'll just go get ice cream instead of food.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
We did that the other day at Bishop's Orchard. We went to Bishop's Orchard.
Nice.
I had not had lunch that day, and we just went grocery shopping. And I said to my 5-year-old, I'm like, let's just get their ice cream, which is phenomenal. Like, they even have blue goo ice cream, whatever the heck that is. But Chase loved it.
Mm-hmm.
It's all like made in house. It's just so good. So, yeah, I'm thinking ice cream for next year. Not that we've done this year's festival yet, but I think we add that element next year. I think we have to.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Okay.
I mean, you have better sway with these folks than I do. They're right in your own your office.
That's true. I will just open my door at the end of my shift, and I will talk to them about maybe adding that next year. That's a good point. Anthony is here, and I don't think I actually answered his full question. He's the Chief Marketing Officer at the Department of Economic and Community Development, overseeing the Office of Tourism. So I forgot to answer your question, Anthony. Favorite ice cream, I think, has to be black raspberry chocolate chip. Or a cookie dough.
Ooh.
Some kind of, yeah.
All right.
Something like that.
Right.
Why? What about you? Are you more of a classics guy? I don't know why, but I see you being like a, what is that when you get the vanilla chocolate in strawberry? Napoleon? Or what is that called?
Neapolitan?
Yes. I don't know why, but I see you liking that for some reason.
I don't hate. You know what? I don't discriminate with any ice cream, for
Same.
That matter. actually, I'm shocked that I'm saying this, but all right. So Dom's Creamery, again, in the Avon area.
Yeah.
They have a flavor called charcoal, which it looks like charcoal. That is the color. But it's like a mixture of coffee, chocolate, and probably like 5 or 6 other things. But it is wildly good.
Wow. That sounds really, really good. And I'm not much of a coffee anything fan, but that I would try that. That sounds really good.
Yeah. I mean, as I get older, like, I'm not eating it past like 2 o'clock because I'll be awake. But hey, you know, like I said, I don't have a problem eating ice cream before 2 o'clock.
Yeah, no, I gotcha. Yeah, and I mean, it's so funny. When I say a classics, like, that is me, I'd say 80% of the time. Like, I have flavors that I love, But I think if you were to catch me 8 times out of 10 going to just get ice cream on a random day, you're going to find me getting like a classic, just like chocolate with sprinkles or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Sometimes you just,
yeah, right. Like, I don't know why, but and maybe that was what it was. I don't know if we've talked about this before, but I was like, why do I feel like you would get like chocolate or vanilla or strawberry or something like that? But okay, so maybe it's your daughter and I that I'm telling you, I'm getting these ice cream vibes today. There's something going on here. I don't know. Maybe it's the tea.
Hot summer day. Let's do it.
I guess so.
I know what my lunch is going
to
be now.
There you go. See, right? I know. Sorry to all the ice cream parlors that are now going to be like packed as soon as they open up at noon and they're like, why is everyone getting lunch here? It's because of Melissa in the morning. So Anthony, tell us about one final thing I wanted people to know about. There is a huge expo going on the Guilford Town Green this weekend. What's happening?
Yeah, so the Guilford Craft Expo, it's one of the most successful and longest running craft shows in America. 3 days, so today, tomorrow, Sunday, you got over 170 artists and makers with everything from, you know, fine art that you can hang on your wall to jewelry that and fashion which you can wear. Great family event, so there's actually going to be a family art tent. For anybody who's interested in buying, there's going to be a silent auction with a variety of items. And we've been talking about music. All three of these events this weekend have live music and food. So, again, this is one of these things that gives you a little taste of everything.
Yeah, it really is going to be fun. And again, that's all weekend long that you can get in on the Guilford Art Center Craft Expo. And did I hear you correctly? This is one of the longest running in the country?
Yes. Jeez. Hey, that's what comes with the territory of Connecticut.
I guess so.
We've been around a bit.
Jeez, yeah. I tell ya. But you know what? This is exactly why we have this segment on a weekly basis. It's so important. And like I said, as a basically a lifelong, born and raised in Connecticut, I did do a little stint in Vermont for some time, but mostly lived my entire life here. I have learned more in the last month having you on this show, Anthony, than I've known in like 20 plus years of living here. I'm not even kidding. Granted, a lot of these are new. Some of these are new, like the Pizza Fest, but like the Art Center Expo, never heard of it. I had no idea the amount of like the Jazz Fest, had no idea how big of a deal that was in New England. Like it's pretty unbelievable what's going on here.
Yeah, agreed. And that's why, you and I have talked numerous times offline, but so everybody knows that's why I'm here every week. So folks can not only find out what's going on, but learn a little bit more about the state and why we all should be proud of the place we call home.
Absolutely. Now, Anthony, what is the website for people if they want to see other things happening this weekend or throughout the summer? They want to plan accordingly. I mean, I got to be honest. I even have people who are doing like getting ready for the fall already. I mean, those are, I think, are the people who just are not into the summer, which is totally fine. I get the heat and everything and they're excited for fall. So where can people go to see what else is happening, where they could go for farm tours or things like that all across Connecticut?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. So our website, ctvisit.com, has everything under the sun that you can be doing. And it's not just individual listings. We do a lot of our own writing of, content creation. So that way, yeah, if you want to do different farm tours, you want to find out the best pick your own apples or strawberries, you want to realize the best places to go hiking. I mean, we kind of aggregate it all. At ctvisit.com. And actually, even a quick plug for our team who's worked hard over the years on this. So every state has one of these tourism websites. Connecticut, like that, this is going to be wild to you. We have the top five, one of the five most visited state tourism websites in the country.
That's really?
Florida and Hawaii. Yes, really.
That's amazing. Wow. Look at you, yeah. Anthony. Dust your shoulders off, my friend. That's awesome.
Right. It's because of folks across our state wanting to know what's going on.
Yeah.
And this is just a public service that we can provide.
Well, I think that's fantastic. And again, ctvisit.com if you want any more information. And Anthony, I thank you so much for always being on our show. And we'll talk again next week. Really quick, not to put you on the spot, do you think you're going to come to the Pizza and Brew Fest?
Yes, I do.
Really? Oh my gosh, so I'll see you there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
I'm looking forward to it.
Fantastic. I can't wait. Yes, I'll be working one of the booths from 11 to 1:30, so I'll see you there.
Awesome. I'll see you there, and so will everybody else.
Can't wait. All right. Anthony, always appreciate you right here on WICC. And again, Anthony oversees the Office of Tourism. He's the Chief Marketing Officer at the Department of Economic and Community Development right here in Connecticut.